Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159. Great to have you with us on a Wednesday night on the grid. Very, very busy. Of course, if it's Wednesday, that means it's Carver and sometimes Lisi. No Joe tonight, out on assignment. He will be back tomorrow. So flying solo here this evening. And we've got plenty going on. There are tons of games. Huge college basketball night. Lots of NBA, including this Boston-Detroit game. We'll see if Detroit is made of here. For big test for them as they've been playing some great basketball. Only three hockey games, a little disappointing. And we do have the Cognizant starting tomorrow for the PGA. It is a Golf Wednesday, and we're going to be continuing a little Golf Wednesday action as well here on the radio side. Because if Joe ain't going to be here, well, I'm going to do more golf. That's just kind of the way that things are going to go. First hour, Jerry Palm, CBS Sports. We're getting into March. It's bracket time, and we'll talk about some games tonight with some significance with Jerry. Brady Cannon with us later this hour. We'll do some Golf Wednesday, get some of his picks for the Cognizant. And then Gentleman George Kurtz will be by in the second hour. We'll do some pucks, some NFL stuff, and other things with George. So a very full night for us here as we get things cooking. But like I said, lots of games. So let's see where we're at right now with a few of them. And we will start with the college basketball because there's tons of action this evening and some of it fairly significant. Maryland now down 3 at home to Michigan State. Now, Maryland, this got all the way up to 4.5 right before the game started. And they're down 3, just under 10 minutes to go in that game. That was a 6:30 East tip in College Park. So 39-36, Sparty with the lead over the Terps. UConn up 11 at in Hartford tonight against Georgetown. Struggled a little bit in the first half. They're starting to open things up a little bit here. I did like the fat number with Georgetown tonight, but I did not get involved in that one. Elsewhere, Notre Dame down 10 at Clemson. Clemson up 41-31 at the half. I'd expect more of that in the second. Notre Dame stinks, and Clemson's been playing some pretty good ball. Other games that matter going on right now. Vandy had a double-digit lead in College Station against Texas A&M, but they gave a lot of that up right before half. So 34-32, they lead the Aggies by a deuce in the locker room now at halftime. -5.5 live for the Aggies, 143.5 is the total in that game. UCF up 7 now, at the half against Kansas State. Auburn came out to a huge lead against Ole Miss. I mean, they were up like 20. Ole Miss got the game all the way back, down single digits, and then a little spurt by Auburn before the half gets them back to 10. So 50-40, 10-point lead for Auburn. I am involved there. Do have the 13.5 with Ole Miss this evening. Live number is 14.5, so we could use a little push. Hopefully Beard gets the Rebs going here at the half, and Ole Miss can get themselves back in the game and hang around a little bit. Dayton up 3 on Rhode Island. Good game in the A-10 tonight. That's at the half, 33-30, -5.5 for Dayton live. Other ones that of significance. Not really anything else live. Memphis just started against Rice. They're up 4-1 first minute of the game. We have plenty coming up. Indiana Lane, 5.5 at home against Penn State tonight. Villanova, 7.5-point favorites in Newark against the Pirates of Seton Hall. Kentucky, short favorite on the road in Oklahoma, coming up at the top of the next hour. Virginia at Wake Forest. Wake Forest needs as many wins as they could get, and they're 6.5-point favorites. Big number for Creighton, 15.5. Lots of big numbers tonight. Arizona, 14.5. Texas, Arkansas, -2.5 against Texas. Stanford, a big number. BYU's 5.5 out against Arizona State. Ohio State, 1.5-point. I like USC tonight, by the way. Musselman and the Trojans against the Buckeyes there. And Utah State getting 4.5 at Boise. Good game in the Mountain West this evening. So you have, like we said, tons of college action that we are going to be involved with as we continue to move on throughout the course of the night. As far as the NBA goes, good one in Detroit. Pistons, as we know, have been outstanding, red hot. Celtics, best team in the league. Whether you talk records or not, doesn't matter. They're the defending champs. 55 apiece at the half here. This Derek White with 4 threes. You know, the Derek White threes got locked on a couple sites about 20 minutes before the game tipped. And I wanted to get in because last night we hit him for 5. I wanted to go back to the well, and they weren't letting me do it. Pritchard's got 4 as well, so he's off to a nice start. Meanwhile, for the Pistons, 10 for Cade Cunningham, but he's 4 for 12 from the field. So he's hacking him up tonight, but he's not making many. Also has 5 assists there. Beasley's got 12, including a couple threes, so he usually brings him some pretty good fire off the bench. Pacers up 51-41 on the Raptors. That's at the half. Right now, Halliburton had gotten out to a fast start, and he had a great half. 17 points, 5 threes for Halliburton in the early going. Couple threes for Miles Turner. That was 10.5. Similar number the Raptors had last night against the Celtics. They covered it by a hair. We'll see if they can hang around in Indiana. The Knicks smashing the Sixers right now. Sixers look awful. 57-41. Knicks are up. 19 for Bridges in the first half. I think he hit his first 6 shots. He's 8 for 11 here in the first half. Brunson's added 11 as well. 17 for Kelly Oubre for the Sixers. I know I saw that big Paul George. He's going to stop doing his podcast to focus on the rest of the season. I mean, Paul, you couldn't wait till the team got 20 games under 500? I mean, honestly, you're 20-37, shutting down the podcast now? That had to come from somebody else, telling PG-13. Can we chill with the podcast, talking about the rest of the league? The guy's scoring. He's got 6 points tonight, 2 for 8 from the floor. Looks like he's very focused.
Stopped doing the podcast during the playoffs with the Clippers. Do or die games. He was doing the podcast talking about what he was trying to do better.
He was doing – so, look, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not a subscriber to the PG-13 podcast. So he was doing that with the Clippers in the playoffs? He was doing the podcast?
Oh, yeah, man, and it bugged the hell out of me. I didn't even listen to it. I would just get these things on my feed of Paul George talking about what went wrong in last night's game. And I'm just thinking, man, what would Kobe be saying? Like, are you kidding me right now? Like, going on social media and talking about you're in the playoffs right now.
It's not ideal. I'll tell you that. Not ideal whatsoever, and I don't get it. But for it to just randomly come out of nowhere right now, that tells me it was asked of him. Can you chill out with the podcast? You know, could we finish the season? You know, we're going to finish 20-plus games under 500. Maybe we could just wait a little bit. You've been awful. We're paying you like $50 million, $60 million bucks this year. Maybe you could just chill out a little bit with the podcast.
Paul George is also the one that talked about the bubble. It's like, oh, the reason the Clippers fell apart in the bubble with Kawhi was because mental health. You know, they couldn't handle not seeing their family. You know, but
he still bellyaches that they don't like him in Indiana. He still bellyaches about all that. So he likes to bellyache. PG-13. Matias is here tonight, so we will have plenty from him as well this evening. I'm sure there's got to be some. Who's fighting this weekend? I can't wait to see this. Fight night. Where are they at here? Now they're...
You got to pick it from the bunch, Mike. You got to pick it from the bunch.
Oh, my goodness. Is this the one where they... This isn't the main... This ain't the main event, right? Who's the main event in this fight?
Yeah, it is.
Saturday?
No, I think it is, Mike. Oh, yeah, I think it's Menal Cape. Right. Yeah.
Well,
it's soft.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM 159. We're just getting going on a Wednesday night. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi with you. Well, Carver, this is Wednesday, right? So it's Carver sometimes, Lisi. Here with you on the grid, SiriusXM 159, as we're rocking with you. I'm watching this, and by the way, that's pop, they consider that? The generic yeah. pop open that you just threw me there?
Yeah, pop genre. It's under pop.
if there's a folder that just has, like, rock, you just play that one. Just play the rock one. They have one. Something like, or something funny. Like, that's just painful, that one that you play. Like, since we got the real music taken away, I haven't bellyached too much about the rejoins, but I will with that one. That one stinks. Don't play that one anymore. That one.
No EDM.
I don't even mind no EDM. That just that was like a little. That was not. That was just strange. It was bizarre. There's some EDM I don't mind, but I'm not getting involved there with what that. I like the one later, the ones I usually play like at the end of this hour, the beginning of the next hour. There's like the Beach Blanket Bingo and the.
The Beach Blanket Bingo's next.
It always feels like somebody's watching me. That one's always thrown in there too. All right, so Auburn up 10 here. We're going to be sweating this 13.5 with Ole Miss, probably the whole half, as they've been trading punches here the first 2 minutes. And hopefully we can get something cooking. There's 12. Ole Miss needs to make some buckets. See, they're running up and down the court with Auburn right now. I know that's their game. They like to play fast, but I don't know if I'm all in on them doing that here. I think we need to slow down and try to get some buckets, maybe get a couple of stops. On the defensive end, that would be more ideal for me. I don't think I got through all the NBA because Matias dropped in that Paul George note to me. But Nets are up 4 on the Thunder. Nets were getting, like, depending on when you got it, 16.5, 17.5 tonight at home against the Thunder. And they're up. You get the Thunder minus 10.5. There's 8 minutes left in the half. Let's see where that one's at halftime. Let's see where that's at. That might be one we want to keep our eyes on and maybe grab the Thunder at some point if they continue to kind of go through the motions here with Brooklyn, because eventually you'd like to think they're going to blow by them. They did reach the half at the Garden, 61-45. Knicks lead the Sixers. So gutless effort once again from the Sixers. And the Sixers are one of these teams that has, they have completely shut it down. It's over. They want nothing to do with the rest of the season. They can't get to Cancun fast enough in 6 weeks. Sixers, Hornets. Seen the Hornets the last three nights? Last three games, I should say. They've lost by 50-plus, 40-plus, 30-plus. They want nothing to do with the rest of the year. The Bulls are in there. You know, Pharrell was saying, hey, we should put the Spurs in. I probably, because that's probably how it's going to go for them now with Wemby not playing the rest of the year. You see, there's a few other bad teams, but, like, they kind of give you efforts every night here or there. Like, the Jazz suck, but they cover sometimes. They give you efforts. Toronto sucks, but they cover a ton of games. You know, the Pelicans, now that Zion's kind of playing again, and they've gotten a lot of the rods. Remember, the Pelicans got buried the first two. They're not an awful team like some of these others. The Pelicans got buried because nobody played the first 2 months, and that completely buried them. And now that they at least have a couple of their guys back, they're competitive on a nightly basis. Competitive.
I think Washington sucks.
Yeah, Washington sucks, but I don't believe that they go out there every night and they just give you nothing. I think they lose every night because they just purely have zero talent. Like, they just have nothing. And now they traded for a couple older guys with Smart and Middleton. But, like, I feel like the Sixers are out there and they're just not trying. I think the Bulls are out there. They're just not trying. I don't know if I could say that about Washington. I think that they just suck. I think there's a difference. You get what I'm saying, Matias? I feel like there's a there's you could be
no yeah
two ways
yeah
to be
I get what you're saying. Absolutely, absolutely. You know? Philadelphia is like a dumpster fire because there's talent, but they suck. Like they don't, you know.
They're awful.
Toxic locker.
They are absolutely awful. They are pathetic. And what's going on with them? And now Embiid's probably never going to play again. And it's just going to be a real ugly finish. And that Nick Nurse, man, he should thank his lucky stars he had Kawhi Leonard for one season. He should thank his lucky stars that he had that. Because he made a lot of money and a lot of rep off of that one year. And I think he's done an awful job with Philadelphia. You want to tell me Embiid's always hurt? Fine. You want to make that the reason? They still have other players that are pretty talented. George, Maxey, et cetera. And they suck. They just look completely lifeless and gutless every single night. Not going well here. Auburn has now stretched this to 13. They're on the line to make it 14. So we're going to need Ole Miss to show. I mean, and they've extended this, and there's 17 minutes left in this game. There's a lifetime left to go here in this Auburn-Ole Miss game. But Ole Miss just, they can't get any stops right now. Can't get any stops moving forward with this. So we'll keep our eyes on that and the other game. So Michigan State now up 6 on Maryland. What did you go in on? You took Michigan State live. What, Matias? You told me you took Michigan
State. I got
them
at -1.5. Yeah, so I got them at a good price. But, you know, they were up by 9. So Maryland's actually cut into this lead now, and it's 48-52 now, 4 minutes minutes to go.
Four-point game.
They're coming. They're coming.
Texas A&M is now past Vandy. So Vandy had a pretty good lead in the first half there in College Station, and the Aggies have now blown on by them for it. You still have St. John's, Butler, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Utah, Arizona, a couple of others that are going to start. We're going to get into a couple of these games later with Jerry Palm and have a couple bracket questions for him. We've got Brady Cannon later with the golf. We're in Knockers this weekend. Let's go, baby. A lot to do. Harvard and Lisa Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM. Back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Harvard Lisa Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. It's Carver sometimes Lisi tonight. Joe out. I'm in. Solo. We have a lot going on. Jerry Palm this hour. Brady Cannon. George stops by. Gentleman George Kurtz in the next hour as well. Hit Burbell is here as we have a lot cooking. Tons of college basketball games. A lot of NBA and the golf, which I'm very excited for because, as you know, I love the golf and I love the Florida swing. And that starts tomorrow. And I feel like that's, you know, where it really starts to get cooking. It's a great month in Florida. They go from a PGA National, formerly the Honda, now the Cognizant, to Bay Hill for Arnie, to the Players, which, of course, is like the fifth major, they love to say. And then the Valspar at the Copperhead there. So it's a really fun 4 weeks. And when you get through that, I mean, the Masters is just, it's right there. First major of the year, as the azaleas will bloom in Augusta for someone else this year. Can't wait for the golf. So lots of picks with Brady later. Michigan State extending back to 7 now. Might even be more because Matias is probably ahead of me. The bad news is that Auburn is now up 16. So we need Ole Miss to hang around a bit here. And hopefully they're going to be able to do that. As far as they've started the second half in Detroit. And how about the Pistons, who are up 71-63 on the Celtics? So how about Detroit, who comes into tonight on a 7-game winning streak? And listen, they haven't, you know, they've beaten a few teams, you know, not the best teams in the league. You know, a lot of Hawks, Bulls a couple times, Hornets, Sixers. You know, they've gotten fat on this winning streak with some of the worst. They beat the Clippers on Monday. And the Clippers are a good team. But This is some test for Cade Cunningham and the crew tonight. And so far, they're passing it. Now, if you're not a believer and you think that that will not last, well, here's the good news for you. You can get Boston now plus money to the money line, plus $1.12. Get them plus 1.5. They're down 7. Lifetime to go, under 7 minutes in the third quarter. I'm going to hold right now. I'm going to hold and see. I did say we needed to get to the end of the half for the Nets and the Thunder. 6-point game. Nets are still up with 4.5 to go in the half. If the Nets are up 6 at the half, Matias, we got to take the Thunder in the second, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, we should, because if we don't, I feel like we're going to be biting our tongue for not doing it later in the show. That's what they do.
Even
that team, that's what that team does.
I mean, if it stays 6 points in the next 4 minutes, it'd probably be a little less than 10.5. You know, 10.5 down 6, they score so quickly. It's not impossible.
Or taking Shai Gilgeous over points, whatever his point total is, if they're down, because you know he's going to have to score in the second half and take over.
He's usually a pig when that stuff starts, right? He's got 8 right now. He's light. He's got 8 points. It's funny. He's got 8 points right now, and he's still minus 400 for 25. So they're not even, you're not.
Yeah.
You know,
that's because he
can't even get it. He's still minus money for 30. He's minus 120 for 30 points. That's how fast he scores. That they have those numbers like that. Unbelievable. Really is. 20 to 1 from the score 45. Have a 30-point half. Why not?
It's Michigan State team up 4 with a minute to go. Maryland has the ball. Crunch time right now. Maryland has the score. Oh, timeout. Timeout.
I would turn that on, but Joe claims that when I turn games on now, I kibosh it for people. So I'm not going to do that to you.
I don't believe in any of that nonsense.
Man, what happened to Georgetown? Georgetown was, they were within single digits of UConn a few minutes ago. I got to see what happened here. Is this right? 93-77 now. What kind of run is this? It was 76-67 with 6:27 to go. And UConn has just completely blitzed them here over the last 5 minutes. And they are now up 16. Oh, that is brutal. You had 16.5. See if Georgetown can somehow still get that cover. It's a deserved cover for Georgetown to see if they can cross the line. Cover Lisa Sports Good Radio Series XM1.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, SportsGrid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Here with you on a Wednesday night, of course. Carver, Sands, Lisi, Joe out on assignment. So solo mission tonight. So solo mission, we get other people involved. And, of course, we always love Jerry Palm, CBS Sports bracketologist. And it is that time of the year, baby. Let's go. March is this weekend. We only have a couple weeks left in the regular season. Championship week, NCAA tournament. We're less than 3 weeks away from Selection Sunday. Jerry, great to see you. As always, my man. And let's get right into it. I'm watching a couple of these games right now. Ole Miss trying to hang around with Auburn. This Michigan State-Maryland game coming down to the line. What is the what's the biggest game for you tonight in terms of maybe it's the bubble? You know, Indiana's got themselves back on after beating Purdue. They got to take care of business. This Boise State game tonight with Utah State is huge. What are you keeping your eye on the most tonight?
Texas and Arkansas, because those are two teams right around the cut line, and their resumes are pretty tight in terms of similarity. Arkansas is in the bracket at the moment. Texas is out, and the reason for that primarily is because Arkansas won at Texas the first time that they played. Now they're playing at Arkansas. Texas learning to trying to return the favor split that season series with both teams winning on the road. And that could put Texas back ahead of Arkansas. And Georgia's in that mix as well after the win over Florida last night. So those three teams have been kind of going in and out of my bracket, not the same teams in and out among that group of three in any consecutive bracket I've done in about 3 weeks. But, you know, those are the three SEC teams right around the cut line. So when two of them are playing each other, for me, that's the game of the night.
That's a massive, you're right about that, because there's so many opportunities. And it's funny because Georgia, massive win last night against Florida, which I saw bump them up a little bit in your bracket. They still have more work to do, but it was a nice boost for them getting that win. And I saw Calipari bring this up over the weekend, and it's so true. The great thing about that league is you're going to get so many opportunities to play in these games that can push you across the bubble. But the bad side of it is you're going to play in these games that can be against these other teams that need it so bad too. That's why I think this SEC tournament that's going to come up in 2 weeks for all these teams, Georgia, Texas, Arkansas, you know, they're going to get opportunities there to maybe get another crack at an Auburn or an Alabama or a Florida. Huge couple weeks for these teams.
Yeah, but they need to finish well enough so that they don't have to win like three games in that tournament just to have a decent enough resume to be selected. So none of these teams are really in a position to go on a, you know, lose three out of four skid down the stretch of this season. And it's not going to be easy for any of them. You know, Texas is playing three of the other bubble teams. There are five, actually, in the SEC. We've talked about three, but Oklahoma and Vanderbilt on the right side of the line at the moment, but also bubble teams because of the schedules they have left to play. And there's just no guarantee with, you know, three or four games left, you know, three after this week going into the weekend, that they're going to win enough games where they don't have to do something miraculous in the conference tournament just to be an at-large team. So, yeah, it's going to be nerve-wracking in the SEC, but Calipari's right. This is a better opportunity than being in the ACC where nobody has a chance to improve their resume unless they beat Duke. And Clemson and Louisville are good teams too, but they don't have enough games left to play all those teams. You know, they're lucky if they get one of them at this time of year. And the lack of competition in that league, you know, if you're trying to make the bracket, you'd rather be in the SEC, even though those are dangerous games. You're not making it without those games.
Indiana, of course, has now kind of played themselves back with some wins the last few weeks against Michigan State and Purdue. And they're about to start right now against Penn State. I got to tell you, Jerry, this is the type of game, you know, off a huge win against Purdue, I'd be nervous tonight in Assembly Hall if I was Indiana fan, because this is the type of game where I could see them not take care of business and mess around with Penn State at home.
Well, and that's been why they're a bubble team. You know, it's not really the talent. They've got guys. It's just been the inconsistency of, intensity, I guess, you know, that they bring to the game. They're not always locked in. Now, if you're playing Purdue, you're going to be locked in, right? Because it's a rival. Yeah. But it's the other games. I mean, they won at Michigan State. You know, this is a team, if you beat Purdue and you can win at Michigan State, we should not be talking about you as a bubble team. But we're talking about you as a bubble team because you don't take every game seriously enough. And so if they need to do that, Penn State is good enough to beat them if they don't, you know, bring the proper respect for their opponent, a proper respect for the game and the intensity that this is the Big Ten. You better show up. And Indiana needs to do that. And if they show up, you know, they start showing up 5-6 games in a row, this is a team that could make the NCAA tournament and be underseeded compared to the level of their ability, but then be dangerous in the NCAA tournament. But I'll believe it when I see it because we haven't seen it all year.
Me and Pharrell were talking about this yesterday on Coast to Coast. If St. John's were to finish off this Big East regular season title, win the Big East tournament in the Garden, can they get as high as the 2 line?
Yes. Yeah, they could. I mean, it depends on what other teams do, of course. But yeah, they certainly would be part of that conversation, I'm sure. I don't think they can be a 1. I don't think they played a good enough schedule outside the league to be a 1. In fact, until they beat Marquette early February, I want to say, they didn't have a win over a team that was likely to make the tournament. So, you know, so they've got a gaudy record, but they didn't really get to prove it until they got into conference play. And that's why their ceiling is limited. But yeah, 2, I think, would be in play, depending on what other teams do. But I think it's a ceiling for St. John.
What did the Florida loss? I saw in your column today that the Florida loss knocked them off the one line for you. Who did you move into the one line?
Houston. And Houston is kind of another team that had to prove itself late because they didn't have it wasn't quite as bad as St. John's, but they didn't have the usual non-conference schedule. And I think there may have been a couple of teams on that schedule that end up disappointing and making it look worse than it might have been. But Houston has been the dominant team in the Big 12 this year. That's a pretty good league. And I think that if Houston wins out the regular season, wins the conference tournament, or maybe even just gets to the final, depending on what other teams do and who their competition is, that's probably a number one seed as well.
Michigan hit a half-court shot at the buzzer to beat Maryland. Michigan State hit a half-court shot. Maryland had tied the game at 55. Hit on Michigan State, hits a half quarter, 58-55. Sparty gets the win in College Park. And I saw you move them up to the two even before this tonight, right, Jerry?
Yeah, well, what happened last weekend, I did a bracket on Friday. The top six teams in that bracket won. Only three of the next 14, that's all the way through the five seeds, only three of those teams won. One of them was Michigan State, and they ended up moving up from a four to a two in part because of what they did over the weekend, but in part of everybody else just losing. And, you know, sometimes when everybody loses, nobody loses. And, you know, only half of those teams changed seed lines at all. So, you know, it really was more shuffling than anything. But Michigan State, had by virtue of having won, had some room to move up, and they did.
Is there any, I've only got like about 30 seconds left. What's the one conference that's going to surprise maybe with two bids, is, you know, or get that extra bid? Is San Francisco going to get in out of the WCC, provided everyone, you know, the chalk wins in their conference tournaments? Is there any low mid major that's got a chance to sneak in?
Well, the multi-bid leagues are the West Coast and the Mountain West. I don't think any of the other leagues are going to put another team in. But if it does happen, it's going to be the American, because Memphis is an at-large team. They're the only one in that league. If they get upset in the conference tournament, that league will put two in. That's probably the only league where that can happen.
Jerry, tremendous job as always. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports. March almost here, baby. We love it. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah. And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159, here with you on a Wednesday night. Carver sans Lisi. Joe out on assignment. As we know, Wednesdays now are Carver and sometimes Lisi. That's what the show is on Wednesdays, and we'll get him back in a few weeks, of course. So you know how I do it on Wednesdays on Coast to Coast, Golf Wednesdays, as we get ready. And now, because Joe's going to leave me on Wednesdays for the next few weeks, we're extending Golf Wednesdays to the radio side. And I can't wait, because I talk to Brady when we do live on Coast to Coast, and now I'm going to get Brady's PGA picks. As we get ready for the Cognizant this week, it'll always be the Honda to me. Brady Cannon with us. Hi, Brady. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. I love this new development. That is awful accommodating of Mr. Lisi to go AWOL on Wednesdays the night before a golf tournament starts. Let's do this thing, man. That's perfect.
It is perfect. And getting right into it, I love, we love all year round. Me and you are sick. Cam sick. You know, we love that. We love every week. So this is great for us no matter what. But the Florida swing, for me, Brady, it's one of the best months of the year. I love all four of these tournaments, PGA National, Bay Hill for Arnie, the Players, Copperhead with Valspar. They're tough tracks. It's, you know, tough courses. It's March. Your Masters is right around the corner. The juices really get flowing here, Brady, as we hit PGA National this week.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm from the West Coast, so I love Riviera, and I love Torrey Pines, and I love Pebble, and there's nothing better than, you know, flipping the calendar to January and checking out Kapalua. But yeah, there is no doubt about it. These four courses, this might be the toughest stretch on the PGA Tour calendar. You've got PGA National, extremely difficult. Bay Hill, we know how tough that is. The Players is certainly one of the hardest courses on the circuit. And then, you know what? Innisbrook might be harder than them all. I mean, this is a real test. And I also love the fact that I think this is also the time where the Players really say, okay, we're almost to the Masters. This is where I try and flip the switch. It is all systems go towards Magnolia Lane from here on out. So, you know, the West Coast is kind of like the warm-up. We get ready, the new season. Now we're full-on fledged in that March for Augusta at this point.
And especially now, Brady, with how they've changed everything, if you're a guy who's either not played a bunch of tournaments, maybe just the signature events, and maybe you haven't played well, even if you had played a lot, the way they have it structured now where the top 50 by the Tour Championship, you know, you're talking about a Ryder Cup year with Ryder Cup points. If guys haven't been playing well, now's the time when you really got to start to put the foot down a little bit. Like, I got to get some points. I got to get up in the standings. I got to get my, because that top 50 is so important now for the following year. You can't, I mean, some of these guys getting bit, you know, the Michael Kims and the Maverick McNeely's all getting a lot of points here to start the year. The Fitzpatricks and the Homas and other guys, you know, they got to get to work.
Yeah, how about Xander Schauffele? You know, yeah. I mean, he still ranks very high because of what he did last year. And I don't know if he gets any sort of exemption or anything like that. He's supposed to show up next week. That's what I read yesterday, that he's going to try and make a comeback next week at the API at Bay Hill. And I think he took a little bit more time off. He felt like he probably could have come back maybe a few weeks ago or so, but he said, I really didn't want to rush it at all and cost myself another 6 to 12 weeks. So I think he took some extra time here. And I think he even, if I recall from what I was reading, I think he even mentioned Augusta. Like, there's no way he can miss that, right? So he had to take extra precaution here and extend that time off maybe another 2-3 weeks. So he is just absolutely 100%. So I think he'll be okay. But that's going to, you know, what do we do next week? I would, my initial reaction, Mike, would be a fade on Xander.
Yeah, he won't be on my card next week, Brady. There's no way. I can't. He's a guy that I generally don't back anyway. I just don't like rooting for Xander. I mean, I kind of liked him a little more after he won those majors last year. You saw a little bit of a different side of him after those, but he used to burn me so much in the past. You know how it goes, Brady. Some guys get you a lot.
He was forever a bridesmaid, right?
Right. So I kind of drifted away, and it's almost the opposite of what Spieth's doing. You know, Spieth wants to play weeks like this week because he's trying. He keeps bringing up Augusta. I want to be at my best for Augusta. He's coming off the wrist surgery. He's played a little bit. I couldn't believe, Brady, he's never played the competitive PGA National. Honda, now Cox. This is the first time he's doing it. And I'm interested. You know, his numbers are pretty hefty this week. You know, 45-1, some 4-1s for top 10s. Some pretty good Spieth numbers out there if he plays well.
You know what? And people are backing him. I got a report today from BetMGM that he is their second biggest liability.
Wow.
Yeah, so people are happy to see him here. You know, he has played well the last 3 or 4 years, it seems, at Phoenix. And you may recall, he really turned around his season a couple of years ago. I think he shot a really low round, a 60, 62, 63, something like that, at Phoenix. And all of a sudden, it really turned his entire season around. Played pretty darn well there this year as well. And that is absolutely a ball striker's course. And that's really what we have for the entire Florida swing. It is all about ball striking, and PGA National is no exception. So, I mean, hopefully, you know, Jordan really hasn't been known as an exceptional ball striker. I mean, it's the short game, the wizardry around the greens. If he can get his irons on fire, then yeah, he's going to be ready for Augusta.
Brady, we will come back, and in the short segment to end the hour, we will get your selections for the Cognizant. We're going to find out. I know I already read your article from earlier in the week, and I know me and you, and I believe Keith Stewart was today as well, we are on the Irish Bear this week.
Oh,
as
good.
You should be. Three straight top fives at this event. Brady, I still can't believe he lost that year when Straka won, and he's standing on the 17th tee when that storm came through and they stopped the tournament with the last two holes. I can't believe
Talk about a bad beat.
Oh, my God. So and that was your burger was up 5, and he completely went in the tank on. So what a this is always a wild tournament. Brady Cannon, we're back. Picks for the Cognizant after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There it is, Matias. There it is. Matias spinning the tracks tonight. It always feels like somebody's watching me. Carver and Lisi. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159 here on a Wednesday night. It's a Golf Wednesday radio style with Brady Cannon as we get ready for the Cognizant. We were just talking about this off air, and I'm going to bring it up to you and then give me your picks. I can't remember the last time we had a week where the favorite was not under 20. Like, even in the Jabroni tournaments, Brady, like Mexico and others, there's a 12 or a 14 or some. Obviously, when Scotty and Rory play, we've got guys in single digits, but the favorite being at 20, 22 to 1, and then a bunch of other guys in the 20s. This is very rare what we have this week.
I totally agree with you. It you know, and it's a little bit of a shame because back when this was the Honda, I mean, you used to have some serious fields here. A lot of the European guys would take the West Coast swing off, and this would be their first tournament. You know, Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, all these guys, this would be the Ernie Els back in the day. This would be the first time they showed up on tour. Now, like we've talked about, there's not a ton of star power in this field, which is a little bit of a shame, but it's very interesting from a betting standpoint. I feel that we're going to probably get, you know, an Austin Eckrode, a Chris Kirk, a longer bomb. You know, I think that's more likely. You've got just a handful of guys, Sung Jae-im, you know, Shane Lowry, Daniel Berger, you know, there's just a handful of guys in that 20 to 1 neighborhood, and then it falls off a cliff and everybody else is 50 to 1 or better.
It's hard, man. Everybody's on Daniel Berger this week. Lot of people are on Berger. Let me know who you have, of course, starting with, as I mentioned before the break, the Irish Bear, Shane Lowry, a place he always plays well.
Well, the Irish Bear indeed, you know, and I have 7 picks this week. 5 of them are longer shots, but I felt I had to play a little bit up towards the top of the board. I had to get one of the big names involved on my card, right? And so I went with Lowry. You know, Mike, there's a ton of crossover here with the British Open. Ernie Els, Rory McIlroy, Padraig Harrington, you know, Ricky Fowler's played the British extremely well, Adam Scott, Mark Calcavecchia. So there's a real connection here between British Open success. And of course, Shane Lowry has won the British. He's played here 7 times. He's never missed a cut. He is actually the best player in this field over the last 36 rounds for the entire Florida swing. He kills the Florida swing, and maybe it has something to do with the fact that he lives here. He plays difficult golf courses very well. It's something about Shane Lowry. He gets fired up for a difficult test of golf, and I just had to go that direction. And then I went with Taylor Pendrith, who I think is an up-and-coming star. I wouldn't be surprised if this guy is, you know, contending for major championships in the next 3 years or so. He's got his first PGA Tour win. He's had 5 starts this year, already a couple of top tens. He is money off the tee, and he can putt. He's 7th in this field for strokes gained putting on Bermuda grass. And then I went with Nikolai Højgaard, another guy that is just money off the tee, great with the irons. If he can find a hot putter for a couple of days, I think he is absolutely live. And then the rest of my card really is just absolute ball strikers, Mike. JJ Spahn, I mean, this guy doesn't do much of anything else besides ball striking. Number 1 in this field for ball striking the last 36 rounds. Got him, and he's been playing well. Got 3rd at the Sony, which I think is a correlated course. Wall-to-wall Bermuda, exposed to the wind, narrow fairways. You know, you see a lot of crossover success with the Sony and the Honda. So JJ Spahn, who finishes 3rd there earlier this year, he makes my card, as does Nico Echeverria, who lost in a playoff at the Sony earlier this year. And by the way, the Zozo Narashino in Japan is another correlated course for me, where Echeverria just won back in October. This guy's got 2 PGA Tour wins in the last 2 seasons. That's more than most people in this field can say. And yet he's at triple digits. I got him at 100-1. And then finally, a real long bomb. And Echevarria, another guy who's a local resident who's played here as a junior. You know, a lot of Florida roots on my card as well. Taylor Pendrith lives right here in Palm Beach Gardens. Ben Coles at 200-1, a really long bomb. Lives up in Ponte Vedra by Sawgrass. He's played here a number of times. And all the stats I was looking at, he just kept popping up. Deadly accurate off the tee, 15th on tour in ball striking. Last 36 rounds, he's fourth in this field for good drives gained. Number one in hole proximity. This is the most difficult course on tour, Mike, for approach shots from 150 yards or greater. He's number one in this field from that distance. Ben Coles.
Brady, I love it. I have Pendrith and Højgaard on my first round leader card. I got a couple of your other guys in there. Let's have a big weekend in Florida. Florida Swing. Brady Cannon, we're back.